Track 13. Unit 3. Listening 2. Urban sprawl. Oh, good morning, class. Today, I want to focus on a trend that began to emerge many years ago, but has been more noticeable in recent years. Urban sprawl. Now, there are many advantages and disadvantages to urban sprawl. However, before we get distracted by the arguments, I want to discuss some background information about urban sprawl and how it evolved in the United States. Basically, urban sprawl happens when the population in cities starts spreading outward. The suburbs extend further and further away, and the masses start moving into those suburbs. A suburb is an area or town near a big city, but away from the center of the city. Usually there are a lot of houses, and most of the population is middle class. More and more houses, and the type of developments that tend to accompany them, such as malls or stores, are built, and they in turn are built further and further away from city centers.
How can someone tell where the suburbs start and the city ends? The new area looks like the old area, doesn't it?
Good question. Design certainly plays a part. There may be similarities between the outer edges of a city and the suburbs, for example, in terms of the building materials used. But in most cases, they don't look the same. You will find that within a city, there are lots of different styles of building, but the suburbs are more likely to be similar. In fact, some argue that design inspiration is lost in the suburbs. Not only are there more houses, but they all look the same. Even the malls and stores look similar.
When did this happen? It must be recent. We haven't always had suburbs, right?
Most people think urban sprawl is a relatively new concept. Others think it began in the 1950s. However, that's not actually the case. Although many of our modern cities have been designed to combat urban sprawl, it's a concept that has been around for many centuries. In fact, urban sprawl has existed as long as cities have existed. Rome is one of the oldest cities in history and was one of the most crowded. At the time of early Rome, almost 3,000 years ago, the population started to spread outward. And it wasn't just Rome. Even before that, in more ancient history, Babylon and China also saw considerable urban sprawl. Moving on to more recent times, London experienced its share of urban sprawl in the 17th and 18th centuries. During that time, the wealthier citizens started moving away from the city center and commuting in for work.
Urban sprawl didn't only happen in Europe, did it?
No, it didn't. Let's move forward to the 20th century. In the early 1900s, urban sprawl began affecting North America, the United States most specifically. Later, in 1918, a rapid increase in immigration after World War I resulted in greater urban growth. Around the same time, the growth of affordable cars meant that middle-class people could live further away, but still travel to work in the city center. As a result, suburbs started growing up around large cities. After World War II, around the 1940s and 1950s, governmental policies contributed to urban sprawl. As government agencies provided loan programs, millions of new homes were built, and cities grew more.
What about after that? It seems we're still seeing urban sprawl today. It continued after the 1950s, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Later, in the 1970s, the sprawl was continuing to be seen. At this point, it was becoming a social phenomenon that made an impact on how our living and working spaces have evolved. Some cities have doubled in size land-wise, but city center populations have decreased. Cities saw more and more suburbs spreading further and further away from the city centers. In fact, today, inner city populations are at all-time lows. Some reasons for this include the high cost of property in city centers, people wanting a slower pace of life, and also wanting more green open spaces.